host Logan Crosland, and I would like to thank you for joining us for episode number 67, where we will be watching the Impact episodes from March 18th and March 25th, 2006. Let me now bring in my co-host and the guy who is probably tired of doing pods with me, as I think this is our fourth in just one whole week. So, Jake, what you doing? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well because I'm doing a pod with you, Logan. Never get tired of it. Never. Never gets old.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear. I like that attitude, and I like the excitement in your voice. So, but I'm happy you're here.
We're like Team Canada.
So we're gonna break up around in about a month or two.
Well, spoilers.
I'm sorry. we'll bring in our experts now. First, he is captain of the Chicken Salad Express, and I am still very angry at him for making me watch Uncensored 1996, and that's Ben Locke. How you doing, Ben?
I'm good, Logan, and I can only apologize to you and Jake for that. I know, like, video call pods are the rage all around here, but I would imagine there would have been a variety of facial expressions going on during that recording. There certainly was this end.
A lot of face and palm activity on that. I would have just been disgusted, and I just a lot of that going on. But I'll probably eventually forgive you, but it's going to take a minute. I'll just let you know.
You know, you guys made me watch. You and Matt made me watch some Adam Sandler films, so you know, let's consider it's all square.
Yeah, those are totally equal, so I understand.
Totally.
All right. And second, he is my best pal. And to my knowledge, he is still calling his students dummies when they act up. So, Lewis, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic because one of my top five wrestlers of all time has now reappeared in Impact Wrestling as of the end of the most recent pay-per-view. No, not Sting. It is, holla if you hear me, Scott Steiner.
Yep, I knew you would be pumped, and I'm kind of sad that you weren't on that pod to be able to witness the greatness.
Logan, I'm not just pumped. I'm Big Papa pumped.
Okay, that's awesome. I couldn't be more happy for you, buddy. I'm so happy that he debuted, and he's actually going to open our show tonight, the March 18th episode. So if we have all that pulled up, we will hit play in 3, 2, 1, play.
TNA Wrestling.
The new face of professional wrestling.
There you go. They actually don't say TNA Wrestling anymore. It just, this is TNA, and then what Lewis just said.
I prefer our version, though.
Wow. Times they are a change.
We are getting...
It's good that Steve Borden dressed for the occasion.
That is true. He's nothing if not a professional, so. We are getting some highlights from the assault on Steve Borden at the end of Destination X by the Scott Steiner that Lewis is so very pumped to see.
Look at the veins.
He looks like he's made of stone. Like he literally, like if the thing from the Fantastic Four was a human being, Scott Steiner.
Missed opportunity to not cast him.
Hey, I mean, there is a new Fantastic Four movie coming out.
That is
before
true.
Too long, so still a chance.
By the way, so I feel we need to talk about Jeff Jarrett sitting on his ass delivering the guitar shot. That's some beautiful camera work right there.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that Canadian Destroyer on Sharkboy in the open is just beautiful and brutal at the same time.
Sean Kidd's favorite move ever.
Mm-hmm. Just because it happened on Sharkboy, though.
Absolutely. Oh, that guy's very excited.
Well, I think that was great value. Nick Duke, he's back.
Do you think at the height of whenever... do you think that they ever wanted to call it the American Destroyer, the Freedom Destroyer, take it from Canada?
I don't know. I mean, Panama stole it from being the little, it was like the little jumpy from the second rope Canadian destroyers called the Panama Sunrise. So,
little jumpy.
You know, the little jumpy one.
Oh, the denim button down. You gotta love it.
We might need to bring a fashion statement in, but I think Jeff Jarrett would win every time.
Lewis points that out. Just Gail Kim just walks out there.
Jackie has like how there's like crotchless panties. She's always wearing like a boobless tank top. It's like a tank top with like the boobs cut out. Or bedazzled Brock and be exposed.
These two episodes are like peak James Mitchell, by the way.
Excellent.
I would almost suggest watching these again afterwards to catch all of his greatness throughout.
Big, great value NWO energy with the entire James posse. I mean, the entire Jeff Jarrett posse in there. No unifying like aesthetic or anything. Just
yeah, they don't have all the shirts like everybody. Everybody's kind of just different except the Team Canada right. guys.
Who's going to be doing the Scott Hall role, trying to crack everybody up? Yeah, I know. I'm going to go for EY.
Yep. EY is going to pop up and say, "Hey yo," because EY gargles Drano apparently.
Imagine James Mitchell and Paul Heyman's role in the bloodline. Like, imagine if James Mitchell was the council.
Oh my god! Roman. Universe. I acknowledge you.
Oh my! Good lord! Even by Scott Steiner.
Look at his right arm. Look at the veins. Oh my god.
I mean, his skin looks like leather.
Oh, it is.
Or like rubber, like you could pull it and it would just go.
His belly button so protruding.
Yeah. He's about to cut a promo and Jake, you would pop for this. He says something about they hired two fat out of shape guys, backyard wrestlers named Team 3D. So,
now, gentlemen, I don't know if you can see that sign in the crowd because we are recording on St. Patrick's Day. There is a sign in the crowd there that says, "Stroke me, I'm Irish."
Heyo.
Wow,
this is actually, we lined up the dates for recording this and
yeah,
the
actual
dates. Yeah, that's actually young. Yeah.
Wild.
I bet that's the closest we've ever come to doing that. That's wild. Or maybe we've been like that for a while, because if this lines up, then maybe.
So how many years will this be? Let's see, 2006 to 14, 17 years? 17 years in a day? Mm-hmm. Or whatever. Yep. Wow.
But Steiner here is going to talk about, he's like, so this is TNA. He kind of makes fun of it a little bit, but then he talks about all the WWE guys they hired before him, so. He talks about Christian and Rhino and Team 3D and Sting. I mean, Sting's not a WWE guy, but he talks about the fact that they hired Sting before him. Like, what the hell are y'all doing?
I mean, the chain link headdress thing's a look as well, isn't it?
This is the first time him and Petey are together, too. Wink, wink.
Yes.
Heyo.
Pay attention to that, Jake.
The Scott Steinerized P.D. Williams was part of one of the greatest singles matches I've seen live before with him and Kaz.
Yep, that one was amazing. That match was very good.
Oh, don't point the veins out, Scott.
Look at the vascularity.
Look at the veins on this guy. How did we let him go?
He can only throw a suplex.
Yeah, but Triple H pipes in from the background, because he can only throw suplexes.
because we buried him with Batista to get Batista over.
That's true.
Uh-oh. Shelly's still taping things for whatever reason.
His spank bank.
Do you think Steiner watched this promo back later?
You think Steiner watches the product?
Valid point.
We're only a month or two away from Paparazzi Productions blowing up, gentlemen. You know that.
We actually might get a Paparazzi production in this episode.
Oh, marvelous.
I think it's actually the second one, but it's in one of the two.
I actually think Jackie might be doing the Scott Hall role tonight. She's like, she's just playing a variety of faces behind.
She does look kind of high slash drunk too. Her eyes are kind of like twitchy. She comes in and says, "Hey yo, Chico."
Do you think like Petey and Bobby Roode were in the background there watching, going, "This guy's over from cutting these kind of promos"? What?
We just might as well not even try. Because if this is good.
Big Papa Lumps.
Love it.
I see what they've done there.
Be sure to check yourself regularly to make sure you don't have any Big Papa Lumps. Yep. And if you do find any, please consult your physician. Get your mammograms,
big,
ladies.
Big bad booty daddy.
Somewhere sit down, white trash. Sit down, rednecks.
Somewhere in that diatribe, he says, "I have a bad attitude and had a problem with people. I have been arrested in solitary, and I apologize for nothing."
I feel we've seen this Larry shirt before, but that is magnificent.
That's like the Larry has them raising the flag in the back of his office.
Oh yeah, I see what you're talking about.
Your Jima, like
the most just like stereotypical office posters in the background. It's inspirational.
Go ahead. So JB, our next pay-per-view is Lockdown. So to preview that, we're gonna have a Six Sides of Steel next week with Team 3D and Team Canada.
Oh good, because that's a fresh match.
We're going to do the stipulation for the pay-per-view just on a regular show.
We're going to give away a cage match on free TV. But
that picture of the water dropping is in pretty much every office behind Larry as well.
Yeah, that was a regular in office.
It's space Joe.
It's Samoan Joseph. He tells Larry that it is in his best interest to give him a rematch against Christopher Daniels. So
it's another example of TNA trying to be cute bookers by like the only way that Samoa Joe can lose the title is because he's too fat to climb the cables.
Mm-hmm. Actually, no, that's no, a very anticlimactic ending to the match too.
Oh yeah.
Fat's one of the worst choices of words. I'd probably say too big to climb the tables. Okay.
It's not about weight. Oh my god! It's fucked up, Bora.
That poor plant. That poor couch. Oh my god!
That couch already looks like it was fucked up a little bit on the side there.
Oh my god! It looked like it was cardboard holding it together.
That's probably the same flats. Couch that Dusty was having the couch confessions with.
Oh,
no.
Oh god! Oh Jesus!
Now, how bad do you really want screen time, Daddy?
You wrecked my office, you son of a bitch!
Oh boy, to go with the leather chaps, Mr. Bentley has added a leather jacket as well.
That means he's definitely a heel now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, he had the explosion heel turn. How could you forget?
Oh no! Do you reckon? How much do you reckon he was pushing management to have like a heart in that little bit, the chaps that you can see?
More than you know. Like, is he wearing gloves? No, he didn't have gloves on. It was just the jacket was way too long on his arms. I wonder if Sean actually likes him.
No. There's no chance.
I love that. I was just taking the jacket off. He was like, may everybody see his body. I mean, I'm not, you know, obviously I've got no room to fat shame, but like that little Pillsbury Doughboy body he's got going on.
Yeah, he does look not quite as...
I have a better shape than him. I'll fat shame him. he's chubby.
But he was like, you could tell as he was taking the jacket off, he was like, yeah, look at me.
Well, look
a few more quarter pounders away from not being able to compete in the X match. Why can't I think of what it's called?
He's a quarter pounder away from being able to join Diamonds in the Rough.
So this is a World X Cup qualifying match, in which I have already spoiled who all the members are, so you probably know who wins this match.
Just enjoy the action, Logan.
Yes, exactly. But we got Skipper, Bentley, and Sanjay Dutt here in this match. And Simon Diamond joins commentary.
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
And you'll see why when the match is over. They talk a lot about the White Sox and AJ Pruszynski and Dale Torborg on commentary.
Oh, is that carrying on?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if Don's going to wear like a lime green shirt, I feel like you need some contrast in the tie there, Don. I don't know if you want the exact same color tie.
Yeah, he has the exact same color, but like metallicized tie, yeah. Ouch.
I don't know if anybody likes Matt Bentley, much less Sean. I don't like him.
I liked him at the beginning. I am kind of tired of him now, though. I mostly liked him because I felt like y'all were too hard on him. He is pretty boring, though.
Doesn't he go away for a little bit soon?
Yes, I think so. I think he might get hurt, and then he comes back in a group later. Not much later, though.
Oh, goodness.
Ouch.
It's a wild camera angle. Just, like, cut to Sanjay, like, out of nowhere.
I wonder if it's a contest for Sanjay to get his goatee to be the thinnest it possibly can.
I don't even know if that qualifies as a goatee at this point.
But it does the whole... Oh, that hurt. He just kicked him straight in the face. God. That didn't feel good. Yeah, it's like the most pencil drawn goatee around his chin.
What movie was just promoted there? Who's in that movie?
I missed it.
Shoot 'em up. Somebody's filming a movie called Shoot 'em Up. Let's IMDb find out what wrestler that is.
I think, pre-watch this. I should know, but...
I think it's Christian, if I remember.
Yes, I think that's right.
If it's a paparazzi, I think it is. And that explains why Christian's not around.
Well, that is a movie y'all need to add to y'all's... the movie podcast.
Hey, we need to do that. We need to get in the business of bringing that back first, Lewis.
I don't. Y'all are active in like 20 different podcasts. I don't keep up with which ones are active and which ones aren't.
This is a silent point.
I don't pay attention that much anymore.
Does everybody else gasp every time Elix Skipper goes for like a high spot?
Yes, I like, hold my breath. Always expecting him to fall. Him and Shelton Benjamin terrify me every time they do a springboard.
It was a good sweet low chin music.
Ooh! Oh, God, that actually looked painful.
Well, you know the bit right at the beginning of the match when he was climbing the ropes and springboarded back in? I was expecting for them to keep it in.
His leg kind of semi-buckled when he did that, so I was kind of worried he was going to, like, tear his ACL.
That was a cool finish.
Yeah, it was.
Was quite good.
Quite good.
Smoked him with that kick too before the splash.
All right, and now we're going to get to see the greatest two-sport athlete, Simon Diamond, in action.
What sports?
Oh, you just watch and see.
It's like just Coney Island thing.
It's more baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll have to tune out for a bit.
We do get a bit of rounders here.
I don't think Son Ecstasy is a sport, Simon Diamond.
So, Simon Diamond got Alex Shelley to come with him. And I think
you Mr. Perfect promo?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mr. Imperfect.
Yeah, Mr. Imperfect.
I know I mentioned it last time I'm on, but I always love the fact that it's paparazzi production in association with Alex Shelley Films. That just cracked me up.
A subsidiary of...
So he is going to the site of spring training for the White Sox, which is somewhere in Florida.
Yep.
And he thinks that just because he's wearing the like windbreaker jacket, some gloves and a hat, nobody will know who he is. So he talks to this coach, takes a little.
One time I will watch a baseball match just to see like what the hell you like guys will see in it.
A friendly baseball match, a jaunt around the baseball pitch. The baseball pitch.
Well, I just don't get it. Look, I just don't get it.
It's cricket with more alcohol.
Wow. Okay, you've clearly never been to a cricket match then, because that's too much baseball.
Now, we'll say, Ben, baseball is not like the supreme sport of America anymore.
It's almost below the MLS at this point, actually, in viewership.
Okay.
They've made some rules to speed up the game, and they think that that's going to improve viewership a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. It's like a lot of Americans would probably agree with you, Ben. Like when you say, like, I don't know what people see in it. I think a lot of Americans would agree.
When you get rid of steroids, basically it just went downhill from there. When guys weren't blasting balls 600 feet into the stands, it got real boring real quick.
Now we've got some normos taking part.
Yeah.
So obviously Simon Diamond just showed like positive clips of him at the spring training, and today they come back to Tanae and West and him, and he's like, I heard that there was a little bit more to that footage. And Simon Diamond's over there just going, go to commercial, go to commercial, go to commercial. So now we see the real
clip. I thought he should have been like stroking the beard like, you know, some sort of detective, like, there's more footage. And we also need
such a cheap-looking exhibition title.
He's such a dork. He said, in my business, they don't hand out championships like that. Yeah, they do. Pretty often.
That's the whole point.
There's Jim Thome. In a random, like,
I guess
oh, and guys... Ozzy Gian hits him with a chair.
Wow. Coach.
Yeah, that was the manager that just hit him with the chair.
Don laughing, Don's face. It's so good. Ah, you stupid bastard. You suck.
He said, Ozzy Gian totally waylaid you with that chair. Oh my god.
Can we just talk about how much product Simon Diamond's got in his hair?
No, oh my god.
He's a gross human being.
I just love how giddy Don is about this whole thing.
And the way the desk is designed, I love the placement of the DVD on the desk where you can't actually see the DVD.
Yeah, with TNA legend Sabu on it.
Don's notes there. Oh, how much money would I give to actually read Don West's notes for these programs?
Now, you should be very glad that you can't have the sound on for this promo, because this... Okay. It's Uranus.
Devon with the Shazam shirt.
Bubba with this shirt my grandma would have bought me from JCPenney in 1998.
So they're going to make their own version of the Canadian National Anthem where they're talking about kicking Team Canada's ass.
Cool.
Yep.
Awesome.
Sorry, that was a very low-key burial there, Jake.
I like nothing I love more than Bubba trying to be funny. Just nothing entertains me more. It's my favorite.
My God. Oh, and then they call Scott D'Amore fat, which is hilarious coming from Bubba here.
Irony can be so ironic sometimes.
Devon's serious face is quite comical in this. I feel like he's leaning forward really far.
It's like very early 90s right now with the hat and everything. Like. Mm-hmm.
Here it's comes
Abyss.
Mr. Abyssania.
Where's James?
He's behind him.
I'm right here, Lewis. Surprise, Abyss. Motherfucker.
You gotta slow down. I'm old.
I am anywhere. I'm right here.
I'm emerging from the ramp glory hole, Abyss. Behind you.
Abyss, why did you spit on the camera? Don't you know how expensive those lenses are?
Uh-oh. Is he about to face a local talent?
Nope, he is going to face Cassidy Riley, who, ironically,
a local talent.
Yeah, so like that.
Talent would be a stretch there.
Oh, those pants. Oh Cassidy.
Oh,
Cassidy. What are you doing? So Cassidy Riley is actually having his.
Oh my God! What was that?
I'm about 10 seconds behind you.
Oh my God! That body press.
So Cassidy Riley actually just announced that he's going to have his retirement match with Chase Stevens coming up pretty soon. So.
No big match.
Mm-hmm. Wow! He's going to put his whole career on the line, Logan. His whole story career.
Well, no, I think he's retiring either way.
Oh.
Now, Lewis, Logan made mention of the fact that we were all on the Uncensored pod together for Chicken Salad. I mentioned the fact that everybody does a Dusty Rhodes impression. I think we can safely add in everybody does a James Mitchell as well.
Oh, for sure.
No matter how bad it is.
Oh, all of my impressions are bad.
I was talking about myself. I wasn't watching you.
Did you see that Fred Flintstone Abyss sign? It was like yubba bis dubba do, like yubba dubba bis do. I don't know, but it was definitely Fred Flintstone with the Abyss mask on.
Wilma, open the door, Wilma.
When do you come? When? How do you come up with that like crossover?
Barney.
Like, who looks at a business like, you know what? You know, he reminds me of Fred Flintstone.
Hey, Lewis, I think this is Christian from the set of Shoot 'Em Up.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yep. That is exactly what he's talking about.
It's always something I wanted to do. Vince wouldn't put me in a movie because he calls me ugly and says I have a rat's ass face. And doesn't like the way I look.
He looks like that dude. He looks like the dude from Buffy if he wasn't attractive, like if he wasn't like a male model.
Christian is great value angel.
The dude right. from yeah. Buffy if he wasn't I attractive. Remember.
Do you know who I recently found out was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Who is that?
Pedro Pascal.
Oh yeah.
The Mandalorian himself was in Buffy.
Are you talking about Nathan Fillion, Jake? Is that who you're referring to?
It's Angel for sure. I don't remember the actor who plays him, but
David Boreanaz.
Oh, okay.
I'm a bit of a Buffy nerd. Sorry, boys.
Gotcha.
Wait, no, not Angel. Not Angel. Spike, I think it is. The blonde guy.
James Masters, yeah.
Yes, okay. Yeah, the blonde guy. Like, I felt like with the white shirt, that's kind of what he was going for, but, you know.
Oh, my God. I just looked up a picture.
Right. Well, that's what he's going for. Spike from Buffy.
Gotcha. Abyss, they've stuck us under their bleachers. How dare them?
Is this James asking for the title shot?
Yes. He says Christian is ducking him, or ducking Abyss, and he cannot duck him anymore. He calls Christian a puppy and says he's looking to abuse him. At one point. And then Abyss speaks the international
Abyss,
language.
Don't scream in my ear while I'm giving my promo. It throws me off my game.
The blood of the old ad.
You're breaking my concentration, you big dumb bastard.
This is a long James Mitchell promo. He doesn't usually get this much mic time, unfortunately, for us. Fucking poor Ash.
Very angry, James Mitchell.
Shelley offers his services to tape the match between Abyss and Cade, or Christian.
He looks like a Buffy character, too.
Humiliation. Yeah, yes.
He's got some Xander vibes going about him.
2006 TNA, they're just trying to be Buffy. Conan does not look like a Buffy character.
The beta version. Well, I suppose, yeah, version. Not even the beta version of LAX, because that was the Apollo one.
No, guys, my sources tell me that TNA ran their first house show around this time.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Stay tuned and I'll run down the card.
All right.
That's what they call a soft tease in the biz, boys.
Yeah. Oh, it's Storm and Smiley.
Yeah.
And
I don't want, yeah, exactly. That's why I paused, because I don't want to interrupt the greatness of. I was very bummed we didn't get them on the dark match on Destination X. I mean, we didn't get to see them. What a team.
Can we just applaud the fact that Smiley is just clearly just turned up to the show? Look, he's actually wearing his Adidas trainers.
I want to come up with like a headcanon of how they started teaming up. Like, how did they decide they were going to team up? Shark Boy and Norman Smiley. Oh no, he's biting his ass. Mm-hmm.
Oh God! Jesus, well, we do know that Sharkboy is good friends with Popeye from Universal Studios. So maybe he saw Norman Smiley eating spinach backstage, and it reminded him of his good pal.
I like where you went with this. So it's like, well, he knows Popeye, who's obviously friends with Norman Smiley. Everybody knows Popeye and Norman Smiley are boys.
No, they just both eat spinach. So Sharkboy was like, right. I think I should hang out with this guy.
He looks like
Norman's the only person to have watched the original Popeye cartoon, so they have that in common.
TNA were doing a multiverse years before Marvel were doing it.
Oh God! Shouldn't that be a
Shark Boy? He watches the 1980 live action very strange movie Popeye. If you've ever seen that, it's very odd. Robin Williams.
So it seems that maybe Conan did that on purpose because
an unceremonious send-off of Machete.
This is the last appearance of our dear boy Machete. Going around the room, Jake, what was your favorite Machete match?
My favorite Machete match was when I read the Wikipedia entry for the tool of Machete.
That's correct. That was great. That was a great. That was a great segment we had. Ben, what was your favorite Machete match?
Logan, there's tears rolling down my eyes. Leave the memories alone.
Lewis, what about you?
I mean, all the instant classics come to mind, you know.
I'm disappointed. None of y'all said Father Bullet's victory over him at Destination X.
Oh, of course.
I will remember you.
And the landslide will bring you.
And in a great TNA fashion of doing things, we get Machete's replacement on Explosion. So when we see our dear boy Hernandez for the first time, he will have already debuted. Because they do it on the syndicated show.
They're just calling him Prince of Punk now.
Well, that's what his little Chiron things always said.
He's got to be done after this taping, hasn't he?
Yep. Machete and Shannon Moore's last show are this episode. So.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, what a leaving party that would be.
Mm-hmm. One headed to WWE and the other one headed back to obscurity.
Some would say that going to, you know, WECW would also be heading back to obscurity, but some would say that.
Yeah, you know, I almost made that joke too, but I decided to be a better person.
Well, you know by now, I'm nowhere near a better.
I love how AJ Styles is here, the new X Division champion, Christopher Daniels, is there, but R-Truth is the one that gets his entrance music played.
Watched it beforehand too, but what a team. We've got Styles, Daniels, Rhino, and Killings taking on Harris, Storm, Shannon Moore, and Alex Shelley. So
hell of unfortunately for the time, it's gonna can't last more than about 5 minutes.
it's pretty fast.
Good.
That is, by the way, the generic of all generic Impact shirts Truth got on.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you told me he made that in the backstage, I would believe you. Like, he had, like, his own, like, press printing or, like, a shirt printing thing. I'd believe it. Did Earl Hebner style and sold them out of the back of his trunk or whatever? This is a big spot for Shelley, I feel like.
It is.
It's true. He's been
involved in the, you know, kind of main angle for the most part, but he hadn't been in a lot of matches involving it. But I feel like this is a big spot for him. Moore too, but obviously Moore's gone after this. So
that hip toss to Rhino. Like, Rhino could not elevate at all, so he just kinda like skimmed the ground. certainly not a Ricky Steamboat execution.
Oh, more like a boulder toss. He doesn't have hips. They're just giant stones on the side of his body. Rhino is just an absurdly giantly shaped human being.
And now, if possible, he's even bigger.
Yeah, I was just saying, and as if he wasn't already big here, he's even bigger now.
Right, I was going to say he almost looks a little bit slim. Slim's the wrong word, but less gigantic in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's literally a brick wall at current day. I mean, he's kind of pudgy too, but it's just unreal.
Okay, so this house show. So it was in Detroit. Anybody want to take a guess at the attendance of this first TNA house show?
300.
Okay. Ben, you want to take a shot?
I'll go a little higher. I'll go 600.
Okay.
I'll go a little lower. I'll go 200.
Mm. How could you doubt TNA? 4,000.
Wow. Good for them.
But I believe that's part of the reason is ICP were involved in the promotion of this. Okay. So they were on the show. We have Shark Boy defeating Simon Diamond with the Dead Sea Drop. Chris Sabin beat out Chili.
anywhere in the country.
Chris Sabin beat Alex Shelley. And then ICP beat Team Canada. So, again, I'm sure that helped them draw. Bobby Roode beat Jerry Lynn. Sabu beat Abyss in a street fight. Rhino beat A1. So, Rhino beat Great Value Rhino. Oh, Samoa Joe beat AJ Styles. Said the crowd was crazy for this one. AMW beat the Naturals. Seen that one before. Christian beat Jeff Jarrett to retain the NWA title.
Wow. So. Not a bad card.
I like the fact they have the Battle of the Future Guns at like second from the top, but nobody would have cared at that point.
Yeah, I was just about to say Shelley Sabin probably would have been good. Oh, God, Shannon, you dumb motherfucker. Somehow he still made it work, though. That's how awesome AJ Styles is.
Yeah. I can't believe how much Shannon Moore sucks in TNA. Like you've been watching the Ruthless Aggression stuff with me. Like, I mean, he has limited spots and usually run-ins and all, but he usually is pretty good. Like,
no, and his few matches that he's had, I've loved them. I thought he was underused.
He had a fucking paint in his eyes and he can't see or something.
He's taking a little bit too much of the Jeff Hardy juice, I think.
Mm.
The Jeff Hardy juice can have multiple connotations.
That's why I said it like that.
You talking about like codeine, like scissor?
Sure.
A little too early for fentanyl, but... I'm sure he's dipping his toe in that well at this point.
The Prince of Perks.
Oh, God.
Oh, Truth just did the gooch bomb on him. Fucking teabagged.
The gooch bomb. He
landed exactly on his taint.
I was going to say, he nearly teabagged the tripod there.
That also could have multiple. No, guys, it's a literal tripod.
Oh. unless you're not watching it, it's an actual tripod.
I like that through that vicious gore, he didn't drop the handcuffs. He still held them. He got his fucking head taken off.
Oh, God.
God, Shannon, he's really not getting up for anything. Like, they tried to get him up on that, and he kind of...
He knows he's walking out the door after this. He doesn't care.
Sandbagging piece of shit. Get his ass right now.
I don't know what Shannon Moore said. He's probably like, ah, I'm headed back to WWE. Who cares? I imagine he sounds very North Carolina, but I'm not a big accent person, so. I know Jeff Hardy talks like this. Rock, do you want me to smell what you're cooking? I think it smells like shit. That's what he said.
Okay, reading more through this. Go ahead, Ben. Go.
No, I said Logan to me, Jeff Hardy sounds like he should be like in a period drama like Bridgerton.
You're not far off on that one.
Modest. They are to the top.
Modest to the top.
Sorry, did Hamilton just break out?
To the top of my profession. All right, Jake, what would you go on that episode?
I'm going to go 4 because there's a few fun matches, but I don't really feel like much happened. I mean, we got the Steiner promo. That's probably the highlight, I guess.
Ben, what about you?
I'll go scooch higher for the Steiner promo. I'll go 4.5, but then it's tempered with the fact that, you know, we wasted nearly 5 minutes on baseball, for God's sake.
Lou, what about you?
I'm actually going to go lower. I think it was a 3. Like, as far as episodes go, pretty much sucked.
It's okay to be honest. It's fine.
It's the best policy, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was reading the description of these matches. The ICP beat Team Canada. Scott D'Amore had his glasses knocked off and accidentally hit Petey Williams with a Canadian Destroyer, leading to the finish.
Oh my God! We need to find this on YouTube now.
I was about to say that if this isn't YouTube roulette material, I don't know what is.
Right.
Who did they face? Oh, ICP. You said, sorry.
Yeah.
Apparently,
D'Amore like taught him the move or whatever, like showed him the move. So, like in real life,
he's not actually super duper fat, Jake. Yet, he actually was a wrestler and probably was actually semi-athletic.
Right. But I mean, even so, like, I mean, the Canadian Destroyer is like a
very small man's move. Very right, in shape, like, fit man's move.
Like, I would say Rhino's a very fit man, but if you start busting a Canadian Destroyer, so it's like, shit, Rhino. And also, I love that him getting his glasses knocked off is goofy as fuck.
That's what I was going to say. I love that means he's blind enough to not be able to
blind enough to not know what he's doing, but can still execute a Canadian Destroyer. Mm-hmm.
As a fellow glasses wearer, once those glasses are off, that, you know, that's it. It's game over.
I think I've asked Jake this before, but Ben, what do you think about the lights flashing around the TNA symbol?
I like it. It's very of the time, isn't it? Like early 2000s. You know, they've clearly been watching a few video games and thought that works. Samoa joke, what a sign.
Samoan joke. Yeah, very, very stroby times these early, mid-2000s were.
But yeah, it just reminds me of like a late 90s, early 2000s video game. That's clearly the vibe they're going for.
Mm-hmm. Lewis, what do you think about the strobe lights?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's very video gamey, but it's also made a comeback in recent times. People like Ricochet, Judgment Day has a bunch of stroby stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
So TNA's just ahead of the game with the strobe lights.
You see this Sheamus sign in the crowd?
Yeah.
Oh, there is a Sheamus sign.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
My name is Sheamus, and I love to fight. So apparently he's just ripping off.
I did not realize Sheamus was even in WWE at this point.
He wasn't.
Oh, no. No way this early, huh?
He'd have been around the British indie scene at this point.
Right.
But was that his thing in Britain also? My name is Sheamus and I love to fight?
I want to say it was something like Sheamus O'Shaughnessy. It was something like that.
Yes.
That was Finlay.
Wait, I was just about to say, yeah, that's not a Sheamus thing. That was a Finlay thing.
I think the fan was ripping Finlay off. Yes.
Got it.
And so then the fan just happens to be called Sheamus. Maybe.
Although, actually, was Sheamus not in ECW at this point?
Nah, he didn't come until like 08, I think.
Okay.
Did you also see that Grimace, and it said like, I don't remember, so it's like a picture, a drawing of Grimace with some saying on it, and catch the...
Oh my God.
Sure, it's something about Abyss or Samoa Joe, the most grimacy people.
I've got to say as well about Sheamus, like, if you'd have told me even this time last year Sheamus would be in the greatest match I've ever seen live, then, you know, I'd have called you a damn liar.
might get it run back on Mania.
I think it'll be a triple threat at Mania, but yes.
He was Sheamus O'Shaughnessy. After hitting an opponent in the groin, he gained the nickname of the Irish Curse, a reference to a slang term supposedly denoting a man's inability to perform sexually after consuming an excessive amount of whiskey.
That is amazing. I did not know that's where that came from. That's awesome.
that's quite scary recall for me. I don't usually remember things like that.
His real name is Stephen Fairley.
Ah. Ah, no, he's
or big. Or Farley. I don't know how you say it.
Here's the big reveal of the opponent's Destination X.
Yep. Sabu is taking on Samoa Joe at Lockdown. That's Sabu. What this big hullabaloo to start the show is.
Which I'm kind of glad they're doing with. I'm kind of glad they're doing with Joe, because there's only so many times you can be an exhibition. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that Larry talked to him about on the last... Oh, my God, Devon. Jesus Christ.
He is.
Well-oiled. Yes.
Oh, yes. Very shiny.
But Larry was talking to Joe last time. He said something about, you know... You'll get your rematch eventually, but I want to see you emerge out of the X division. So he wants him to, like, climb the card and go for the world title. So,
and as always, Larry is right.
Yeah. But that was the crux of that little promo that he cut on the last episode. He was saying, I'll give you your rematch eventually, just not right now. And then I want you to kind of emerge to the top of the card because I think you're that talented.
A lot of TNA stuff going here. Apparently, this is where they're, I think, about to move to move the tapings, where they're going to be running after Ultimate Fighter on Spike, which I think is a good spot. Seems like an upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they moved to weekday, don't they?
Mm-hmm. They moved to Thursdays, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they say that till 2010, don't they?
Yeah, until they try the Monday night thing out.
The very ill-advised Monday night war. Yes.
The Monday night, Monday night thing.
They switch to Monday night and literally run the worst booked card they possibly could have ran with the people that they had at that very moment. It features the Nasty Boys, actually. So, Jake, you have that to look forward to.
I'm tempted to fade here. I don't know if we'll get that far. You never know, Logan, do you?
But now, Ben, this pod is never dying.
I feel like Jake might need to watch that show just in a vacuum at one point.
that may be the last episode, honestly.
This there's like a funny note too. It's like them, I guess Jeff Jarrett like told them about all this news. Jeff Jarrett's speech cheered many folks up as he noted that the earlier lead in CSI was much weaker than expected Ultimate Fighter lead in. Just imagine Jeff Jarrett saying like, I know we had CSI leading us in, which I thought was a very weak choice and did not appeal to our demographics. Just odd.
My dumb country ass knows that. How do you not know that, you hoity-toity, right, spike like, TV pieces of shit?
Right, just like, imagine Jeff Jarrett talking about, like, television marketing and stuff.
That gives me cancer age just thinking of it.
The first few years of CSI were tremendous. Oh, dear.
Yes. It's a big deal.
Quite a well-represented team here. We've got a guy from India, we've got a guy from Detroit, and a guy from Ireland.
I can't tell if Sanjay botched that or not. It did not look good.
Thank you for laughing at my joke, Ben. I appreciate that.
Anytime. What I'm here for.
I was concerned that Sanjay got paralyzed.
I was concerned that we're watching a Diamonds in the Rough match.
That is true. I noticed Lewis was being very quiet.
Lewis disassociated during the entrance. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Lewis is already grading this a 2, no matter what happens the rest of the show.
Probably Monty got knee surgery. He's gonna
he got hurt in the Destination X main event.
Jeff Hardy will be working a number of UWF / Hermes Sladler / TNA house shows in the Virginia area. So
wow.
So
can I just say I'm not, yeah, I haven't actually listened to the end of the Destination X pod yet, but I have watched the show, and good god, that Christian Monty match was awful.
It wasn't great.
Yeah. I believe we did think Christian did a pretty good job of taking a beating. Like, he took some good bumps, but...
Yeah.
Slow as hell.
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah, there's, like, no... it's just, like, they move from move to move. Not a whole lot of momentum, and it's very long.
Yeah, that's the other issue with it. And then you've got the big beatdown at the end, which is, like, another 10 minutes.
Jeff Hammond's going to be the special ref at that Virginia House show, too. So, bring all the stars.
Y'all, we need to find that, then.
Don't you mean Mark Harmon?
Oh, of course. He was on CSI. Wait, no, not CSI.
NCIS.
NCIS.
I don't even know who's on, like, the original CSI. Who was the main character in that?
It was Gil Grissom, the main character.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Tell you, this is a popping week for... Now, listen to this of the time. The story going around is that Kenyon is banned from TNA to the point where they don't even want him on the Orlando Soundstage property. The company was irate when he went on his MySpace account a few weeks back and posted excerpts from their contracts.
Oh, how about God, Jay, what the hell just happened?
Jesus.
Oh, shit.
Who was this on MySpace, Jake? I missed the beginning of that, sorry.
Kenyon. Kenyon was probably posted contract details.
Tommy was your MySpace friend.
Oh, my God. I'm giving this show 10 stars for Saban being able to get David Young up for the cradle shock. That was impressive.
The cradle slop when you're doing David Young.
We don't have a cradle shockometer, but that was pretty high. We did.
No, that was the cradle kaboom because he hit it on him.
Jay still putting his leg through his slight botch off the top rope there.
Yeah. That definitely hurt.
I forgot to point out Simon Diamond's slight racism in the qualifying match earlier too. That he was appalled that a person like Sanjay Dutt would be representing Team USA in the World X Cup. So there was that.
The more dressed like a pastor in this.
I was gonna say that's very slimming on him.
Yeah, I feel like he's about to go preach at the contemporary service. Oh my God. So this is continuing Larry Z's little tiff that they had a few weeks ago. He says Larry Z is targeting Team Canada and abusing his power by putting them in constant spots where they can't possibly succeed.
The Team Canada implosion continues.
Borash looks like when you see like one of those things where like make the cartoon characters look like real people. That's what Borash looks like. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's such a, like, he looks like a Hey Arnold character or some shit.
He
like,
really does.
He's like one of those realistic AI generated cartoon characters.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Like, you know, like, yeah. Like when they do like, this is what Homer Simpson would look like in real life. Yeah. Like, that's disturbing. That's what he looks like. That's Borash. Yeah.
He looks like somebody from Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Kind of looks like Ed.
Which one?
Yeah, and you can
tell. Hey, Double D.
You can tell.
Not Double D.
You can tell somebody like director or even Jarrett has told him no facial expressions at all during the you know, just hold there with the microphone and just look at the person. You can do whatever with your eyes, but don't do a face.
Whoa, Slick Johnson with some mic time here.
Yeah.
He's pissed at getting pissed or get pissed over, getting passed over by more senior referees. He thinks he should be the head guy.
Hmm.
I'd like to imagine that when he when D'Amore came in, or when he came in and talked to D'Amore, he started with, "Hey, fat ass! Stop talking bad about me!" They make fun of Larry's receding hairline, too.
Oh, goody. Another authority figure, because that's what this show needs.
Mike Today said on the Observer Live that he hoped Goldberg would come to TNA at some point, but nothing was set in stone.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Speaking of
It's Steve Borden.
Masters. More like Steve Boredom. That was for you, Sean.
Whoa.
Wonder if he's related to Lizzie.
Oh, God. Highly unlikely. So to date this pot terribly, Fairleigh Dickinson took out number one seed Purdue in the NCAA tournament. So,
wow. Did that actually really happen? Holy crap.
That really happened. Beat him by five.
Didn't a 16 win last year?
No, that was a few years ago.
Okay.
It was 2018, I think.
St. Peter's, what was St. Peter's last year? They were like 14 or 15, right?
15, yeah, that's right. Beat Kentucky.
Ben's staying quiet during all this because he doesn't know what sport you're talking about.
College basketball.
Oh.
The big college basketball tournament's going on right now. Men's and women's, they're going on.
I see.
You see, Ben, one of the appeals why it's so popular is because a lot of upset potential.
Mm-hmm. See, they're seeded into brackets, and like if you're the 16 seed, you play the one seed in the first round, and that's supposed to be a
big. I got you, Ben.
It's supposed to be a huge disadvantage, but
no, Ben, I got you. It's a champions team beating a Premier League team in the FA Cup. That's what it's like.
Ah, okay, that works. it's a sporting upset. I get it.
Yes. Right. It's a Wrexham United making it as far as they did in the tournament. That's what it is.
Right. It's probably not like the best way to judge who's actually the best team because basketball should probably be a series, but it's super fun to watch on TV. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Are these one-off games right. or like best of three, best of five?
No, they're not.
It's single elimination. If you lose, you're out.
Right.
But like. To put it into context, this is only the second time a 16's ever beat a 1. So, like, it's only happened two times, and it's both of them have happened with that in the last 5 years. I said 2018, so 2018, 2023. So,
and the added fun in this case too is like because you usually like seeds like some college you've heard of, and then the 16 is always going to be some like in this case Purdue, a very known university, and then Fairleigh Dickinson, which, you know, it just sounds funny to say, like these random,
Now, if this was, you know, soccer, English football, the losing coach of the number one team, that they would get fired pretty much straight after.
This guy that coaches this team that lost is pretty bulletproof. He's like a legend there, so he ain't going anywhere.
They're just humble public employees, Ben, by the way, anyway. So I mean,
employees that make millions of dollars.
Right.
Oh, is this like a bunch of lads on a basketball scholarship or whatever?
Well, the lads are, but the coaches are paid like professional coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially your universities.
Right, yeah. Like not fairly Dickinson, but
not fairly Dickinson. I'd say they got fairly dicked in that matchup.
Fairleigh Dickinson sounds like some sort of place where they have a team called the Fairleigh Dickinson Bobcats. I don't know why.
Believe they are the Knights.
Knights.
And their little symbol, their little like you know, they have like the little graphic thing they have is a knight from chess. So it's not like a,
ah.
It's not like a, you know, It's not like a knight in shining armor or whatever. It's like the chess piece.
I'm not changing the subject, by the way, but Jeff's back wearing that awful shirt again.
Yep, he's Hulk Hogan tie-dye shirt again.
You're Scott like, not Steiner to get us back on the topic we're supposed to be discussing, but...
Oh, no, we can talk about, we can carry on talking about it. I always feel it's an education, because I've told you boys before, I didn't even really know about American football, so... Oh,
hey,
I know.
It's the Naturals.
I know what's going on here. This episode might go to a 10 now.
Yeah, the Naturals are supposed to have a match, but as we see Jeff Jarrett and Scott Steiner at ringside, things might go a little off here.
It's Chase Stevens and the other one.
At this point, I'm not even mad that nobody knows what the other one's name is, because...
couldn't tell you.
he really sucks.
Today said it, and I still can't remember it. I've already forgotten it. Douglas, that's it.
Come on.
Andrew Douglas. Andrew Douglas.
Use the device that created Lewis. Doodoo Douglas.
Mr. Williams.
B. Stevens.
Yeah, his name is Doodoo.
Oh, that actually looked bad.
I think there are no perfect brackets anymore now, too, so that's another thing. There was already only like 0.12% or something like that.
Wow. It's going to be a bracket buster, Cole.
You got to up again. Perfect.
Okay. Bracket. So, the big thing with March, it's called March Madness because it's mad.
I've heard March Madness, yes.
So the big thing with it is everybody fills out a bracket of how they think it's going to go, who they think's going to win, who they think's going to advance through to certain points. So and like everybody in there,
and nobody will have Fairleigh Dickinson in it.
Maybe a Fairleigh Dickinson fan picked him, but they probably didn't pick the other upsets that have happened. So it's like nobody has zero people in the whole country probably have a perfect bracket at this point. Because even if you went through and picked like all the lower seeds, like even some of the higher seeds actually won their game. So,
pretty. I have to say, like Scott Steiner is bringing like a sense of chaos that I feel like they go for a lot, but it kind of falls flat. But it kind of is hitting with him, like it does feel kind of chaotic.
No more doo doo. He was.
They're stretching doo-doo out.
No more doo-doo.
They scraped doo-doo off the mat.
So the reason that Jarrett and Steiner are even out there is in that Steve Borden interview, he challenged them to lethal lockdown at lockdown. So Sting's going to get a team, and he wants Jarrett to get a team. I mean, Steiner just absolutely crushes Douglas there. But yeah, Douglas goes out for a couple months at this point.
Oh,
so, poor PP. He's gonna be by himself.
I feel like we should have got Sean, Brooks and Shaw's contract for that segment.
Yeah, if I had a little bit more pre-warned, I probably would have. I only pre-watched this yesterday, so.
Now, not only does Don look at the way he's that tie. He's not even knotted that tie properly. Bless him.
Oh, it got pulled off by Scott Steiner.
One half of it's creased to fuck.
Scott Steiner grabbed it and mutilated it.
Yeah, Scott Steiner did accost him a minute ago. That machete was a strawberry, so we had to kick him out of LAX. I love when he calls people strawberries. It's my favorite.
The one good thing he does do. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's harsh because I love LAX, and he's a big reason why.
Yeah. I love that his permanent attire now is a prison suit, prison shirt.
TNA will be sponsoring Hermie Sadler's car in the Virginia 500 Nextel Cup Series on April 2nd.
Hermie! Oh my god, Father Bullet. Yeah. What the hell?
He's back!
Bullet Boob Armstrong.
Yeah, those are some major moves he's got going on.
TNA
Ironic is Bullet.
TNA gave for the WCW route of sponsoring an NASCAR as well.
See, back in my day when I was in the Army, what? I forgot what I was saying. I'm going to turn my hat backwards to sound.
Back in my day in the Army, in the Civil War.
So this is a
Don't ask me what side I was fighting for. You won't like the answer.
This is a very terrible and fumbled promo by Father Bullet here, but in this promo, he challenges Conan at Lockdown to a arm wrestling match. So,
oh, that's going to be a five-star.
Yes.
So we get an arm wrestling match between Father Bullet and Mr. Conan.
And not to spoil it too much to Jay, but it's an arm wrestling match in the cage.
Yeah,
that's an evil man's hood right there, says BG James.
That is exactly what he said. That is correct.
Daddy Ass doing his best role, by the way, just staying quiet in the background.
Lewis, I've never asked you this question, but how the hell are you getting closed captioning on this shit?
Not anymore.
How the hell did you know he's...
On my old phone, randomly, it was just doing closed captioning. I have no idea where that option is now. It's gone.
Gotcha.
I know you get closed captioning for the pay-per-views, don't you? But
yeah,
not for the TV.
It was on all of mine on my old phone for some reason.
Gotcha. I always... Because you... spot on said exactly what some people said sometimes, and I was like, how do you do that? We don't have closed captioning on this.
Oh, I just have my volume turned up.
Okay, gotcha.
I have my AirPod in, so I'm listening.
I thought about doing that one time, but thought I might like unintentionally ignore somebody. So
The only problem is I have like my headphones over the AirPod, so sometimes it knocks the AirPod out and pauses the phone that I'm watching Impact on. I'm like, oh shit, now I'm gonna be behind.
Damn it.
Logan, Lewis and Jake are teachers, they can multitask. We haven't got that function.
This is true. I also have ADHD, so I'm always multitasking with something.
Ah, okay.
my life is a multitask.
So poor Eric Young is being punished by putting the 6
Eric is not to be shit at himself.
Yes.
Gosh, Scott Moore is such a freak.
So, Ben, I've been trying to catch up on Impact lately, and I'm behind, so it will take me a while. But I just got to the episode where Eric Young got murdered, so...
I love the fact that, like, that's a thing and we're not even saying it ironically.
No, he literally was killed on TV.
So how does his actual murder happen on TV?
He gets stabbed with, like, a shiv.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, in the neck, in the chest? What happens?
It implies that he stabbed him in the throat and he just...
He's off camera when it happens, so you never actually see it.
Gotcha.
But then he sits back in the chair and got like blood all over his face. So yeah.
Gotcha.
It's pretty cool, actually.
Good little angle. Gina's took over Violent by Design. Call it just the design now.
Yeah, gotcha. His group is the outcast guy that left the Dark Order to go to Impact, and then Connor from the Ascension.
Oh.
Yeah, Angels leaves the lower card group in AEW to join the lower card group in
Impact.
D.Va must have gotten a Steiner stash. Good lord.
Yes. Yeah, we might have to, the Morphoplex award might have to flip flop between them two. It was A1 and Devon, but now it'll be Scott and Devon.
I think we need to make a decision on Morphoplex because I think it'll always be a given that Steiner, you know, it should be like a lifetime achievement award, you know.
Yeah, he's got the Bruno Sammartino of the Morphoplex award, like fucking 7-year reign or however long he stays here, because I can't imagine anyone beating him.
That's true. And I would almost do a fashion statement award, but Larry would like almost oh, always
yeah.
win that.
Oh yeah. To be fair, tonight
I love how they're kicking Team Canada out of the no disqualification match.
To be fair tonight, though, there has been some great fashion statements knocking around.
Oh yeah, this has been that. That's what has me thinking about it, honestly. Okay. I thought my kid was crying.
And then, speaking of current day Impact, you know, we got the really exciting match coming up between Bully and Tommy Dreamer. That's, you know, something I'm really excited about seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 800-year-old Tommy Dreamer and 500-year-old Bully Ray.
I mean, I'm saying that, but then, like, the match we're going to get at Rebellion between him and Mickey is going to be tremendous.
I can't believe him and Mickey are having a match with each other.
Oh, yeah.
That's insane.
She still hasn't lost her retirement match deal?
Now she's won the title. They dropped that aspect of it.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, she did? Okay. I didn't know that.
Sorry, Laura, you can spoil it.
Not a big deal.
I honestly thought that, but then they say it quite clearly on the Impact after, was it Article, wasn't it, when she won it? Yeah. That, like, the last rodeo's over.
Yeah, I think the whole storyline was like, that was like her way of getting to the title. Like, if she didn't eventually win the title, she was going to retire. Mm. But she did, so.
Oh, poor EY. Ready, guys.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he went off the little pole in the corner there at some point. So I think he got, it might be hard.
He's got the whole Ric Flair steel cage match treatment.
I'm guessing with the way that Bobby sort of crouched down with his head like that, I'm guessing he's bleeding himself at the moment.
Yeah.
Blading? What? Nobody would do that. That's dangerous.
Sorry.
This is Spike TV, baby.
don't want to expose the business.
The Parents Television Council will be on their ass after this. Or whatever the hell it was called.
What time is this? 11 o'clock? Well, like nearly midnight on a Saturday night. I think they'll be okay.
I wonder if them being up with the UFC stuff now, if they'll try and do more like gritty, I don't know, not like gritty angles, but just try and emphasize like the physicality of it and stuff. They kind of already do. I mean,
I think that was their big selling point anyway, was the fact that they mm-hmm. did so much of the cartoon stuff.
Right.
EY, Jesus Christ.
I love the pelvic thrust cell.
Perfect timing as we're talking about how, like, yeah, they want to make it gritty and realistic, and then EY is like
convulsing.
Yeah.
No visual time warp on the ring mat.
Yeah. Just like they do in the UFC.
Let's go, Eric Chan.
I love EY. MVP.
Jake's got all the EY stuff to come. I do. I wish I could get back to being like that where I'd never seen it before.
Yeah. Part of me kind of wishes I was that way too, but I was glad I was there when it was happening. At the same time.
Oh dear God, they're turning it into an actual tag match.
Well, I mean, they have done that with all the other ones before this, so it's not...
Oh, I forgot about that. That's right.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. I think any tag cage match they've done so far has been somewhat like this. I mean, it's usually the other way around. It kind of devolved and then turned into a tag match. Usually it kind of starts that way and then kind of breaks down throughout the match, and the ref's just like, fuck it, I don't care who's actually legal or not.
I always love with TNA, like, the ring mat color, like, just emphasizes the blood. Doesn't matter what, whenever somebody bleeds in TNA, it's just like, just the blood's everywhere on that mat.
Mm-hmm. It's the perfect shade of gray to emphasize it perfectly.
Ooh! Bubba Ray's like, there's no way in hell I'm fitting in between the ropes in this cage, so I'm just gonna sit in the corner.
How do you get the back?
Hey, Brother Ray, why are you not going to the outside of the ring? Because my fat ass can't fit between the ropes in the cage, Rudy. Oh, God. So I'm just going to sit in the corner till my brother tags me in. Ooh. And that'll do that
3D.
There's that weird ass suplex that everybody thought was the 3D, followed by the 3D.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, anyway.
Put job for the hardcore.
Well, that was basically, wasn't it?
Do what?
That was basically a squash.
Yeah, I was just a Team Canada didn't get much in there. But as you said earlier, there's a little bit of trouble in paradise on that one.
Mm. So. But here come the reinforcements.
A1A, Beachfront Avenue.
I love that Harris's wife beat has already got the blood on it.
Ice, baby.
Get the tables.
That was the most James Storm shirt he could have. Bud's Bar and Grill. and the gun in the middle is like a, or no, it's a pool table in the middle.
We have a local burger chain here called Bud's Broiler.
Oh,
it's pretty good.
Bud's Broiler. What kind of food do they have at the broiler?
It's pretty. It's like it'll be like a burger. A chili burger, like it's pretty, like onion rings. It's like six total things you could get.
Oh, wow.
Bubba is not centered on that table.
Oh, my God.
And that is why it broke the way that it did. Jesus
it went like
Christ.
A whoop, bloop.
For some reason, Team USA is coming to save them.
I was going to say, Team 3D will be really pleased it's the X-Division guys that are coming to save them.
See, I was kind of digging this, and I feel like it's getting a little watered down now. Like, I don't know, it's slowing down. Like, at first, it's like chaotic, get the blood everywhere. I was kind of digging it, but now I feel like they're dragging out a little too much.
Oh, if you think the show is slowing down, you just
go ahead
just
and click the screen real friend. Quick and see how much time's left.
You just wait, you just wait and see what we have after this.
Oh, there you go. Now the table's busted.
It is a good scene, though, with the cage and all the broken shit everywhere. Bubba's dead.
He's confessing in the corner. Ouch.
They put the flag on.
I think
yeah, they buried Bubba in the flag. Oh, now they're burying Devon. Yeah,
I think my favorite the cage beatdown segment is the one after WrestleMania, after SummerSlam 94 with Owen and Neidhart doing it to the Hearts.
Mm-hmm. And now they sing Oh Canada to get back at.
God, Eric Young is the best.
Oh my God. You gotta love him.
He is so good.
I love that he immediately got back up too.
Yeah, this is good. They right as I was saying it was going too long, they kind of wrapped it up in this school now with the flags.
Devon couldn't breathe, so he had to
suffocating.
Devon, get the oxygen tanks.
I was supposed to cut me an air slit in this flag.
And you think that's the end of the episode, but oh no.
Oh no.
We get Paparazzi Productions presents James Mitchell and Alex Shelley visiting the desperately alone housewife. Starring James Mitchell.
Jesus.
So let me introduce you to Denise Riso, which is Jay Riso's wife, which is Christian Cage. So we are stalking Christian's wife.
Goodness.
Now, are they still together?
They divorced like right as he started with AEW, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
Because that was a part of the, like, him and Jungle... I think it had been more towards when him and Jungle Boy broke up. Cause,
Yeah. Because he said, you need a new daddy, and here I am.
Yeah. That's right. I'm very appalled. Well, we'll get to it as we get through this.
Let's see, like, James Mitchell at the grocery store and be like... like dress like that and just be like, oh, that's not weird at all.
He's a creepy man in the feminine hygiene products area
with a fucking cane and a black like pinstripe suit.
Tanning at 8:40 p.m.
That's exactly what I was gonna say when we got to this point.
What tanning place is open at 8:40 p.m.?
Wait, she doesn't. How would you not notice? I feel like I've seen this man with the fucking dragon cane everywhere.
But is this one with a cane and this other guy filming him?
Right.
Let your husband know that my monster Abyss is going to murder him inside the Six Ties of Steel. But yes, Mr. Mitchell accosts Miss Cage here, so.
Oh, we got a flip phone.
Yeah, she has like a pink flip phone, the most like 2006 thing you could possibly have.
And the thing is, Jake, this leads to the greatest segment in TNA history, I think, next week or the week after. So, yay!
Oh my.
And that will wrap up the episode. It's a
tease for everybody.
All right, Jake, what would you go on that one?
You know what? I think I would give this episode a 6, because I thought we had a good match early in the show. I thought the cage match was quick, but I liked the post-match stuff, and then we got Father James Mitchell in the grocery store.
What an absurd visual. Just absolutely insane. Ben, what about you?
I'm right there with Jake. You know, where else are you going to see Father James Mitchell looking at some hygiene products? It's great.
What kind of deodorant should I get, Abyss? Right, guard? I'm just kidding. Lewis, what about you?
I think I'd give it a 6. It was a much better episode than the first one.
Yeah, that one definitely lapped the first one. I think the first one had some good matches, but not much else was going on. And we got rid of some trash in Machete and Shannon Moore on that first one. So not the best stuff going from that first one. The second one definitely rebounded. We'll go to awards now. Jake, who was your MVP on these episodes?
I guess I'm going to go Steiner. Because he had the big promo, and that beatdown was pretty chaotic, where he
murdered dude.
Put dude on the stretcher.
Yep, he flushed dude down the toilet finally. Ben, who was your MVP?
Yeah, I'm going to go Steiner as well. The promo's great, and then poor old doo-doo.
Yeah. Lewis, you going with Steiner as well?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. That beatdown of poor doo-doo and his promo in the first episode was definitely a layup for him to be MVP. LVP, Lewis, who would you have as that?
I gotta give it to Machete, because he's gotta be the least valuable player. He gets kicked off of a Conan team. You gotta be pretty shit for that to happen.
That is true. Ben, what about you?
Simon Diamond and his hair product.
Oh, God. Jake,
you... And I had to remember about baseball again, which is something I never want to do.
That's true.
I'm going to go Shannon Moore. I thought he looked pretty bad.
Those are all three fine choices, so I'm not even going to offer up another one, but those are all great, great, good ones. So, match of the night, Jake, who would you go with for that?
I think I'm going to go with the cage, if I'm including all the shenanigans after, too. I'd probably go the whole package of the cage. Of the cage.
I got you. Ben, what about you?
Yeah, I'll go to the cage as well, but I'm going to give a little shout out to the X Division qualifying match as well.
Gotcha. Lewis, what about you?
Yeah, the cage.
All right. Moment of the night, probably the Steiner beatdown of poor Doodoo, or are we would go with the post-match of the cage?
Oh, it's got to be fainting, surely.
Oh, yeah, I want to go with all of EY's antics.
Okay. James Mitchell in the tampon aisle.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, or Mitchell in the costume. Poor Denise. I love that they don't even tell you who it is. It's just like, it could just be some random person named Denise, but obviously we know that it's his wife. But I think we need to retire the Morpho play just because Steiner's here and Steiner's going to win it forever and always. So
he's got
Rob Terry comes in.
Stronger shit. He doesn't need Morphoplex. He's got.
That's true.
Rob Terry and Matt Morgan will take it from him eventually.
I feel he's going to mention the fact that Devon was looking especially shiny tonight. Mm. He'd seen Steiner coming and he was like, yeah, I need to sort my shit out.
I need to oil up and testify. But as far as great values, Jake, did you see any that stood up to you tonight?
I'm gonna go with Christian's great value spike from Buffy.
Gotcha, Ben. What about you?
Yeah, I'll go with that as well. Once we figured out which one Jake was actually talking about. Yeah.
Lewis, you.
Oh, I said a great value earlier. I just forgot what it was. I don't remember. I've lost it now.
It's fine. Maybe you can remember it when we do plugs. Jake, what do you plug?
Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, as always. New and just dropped not long ago. You and I, Logan, we were going through the build to Backlash, where Goldberg has just shown up. We have a new YouTube roulette that I assume is going to be dropping pretty soon. Not exactly sure when, but that was quite a... we watched the oldest match we've ever watched. That was my fault. And we also watched a 37-minute Tully Blanchard and Buddy Landell match from a racetrack in 1998.
Yeah. Yes, in 1998. That's the most important part of that you could have said. Ben, what about you?
Okay. The chicken song that's out there at the moment is the No Way Out episode. So that's No Way Out 2005. And as we've mentioned a couple of times about the show, me and Logan and Jake did Uncensored 1996. So that'll be coming out in the next couple of weeks, hopefully. And we may or may not have a brand new worst show ever.
We may for sure. But Ben, I also do Starflation with you, so that's another pod that we have out there. Lewis, where can people follow you at?
People can follow me at Lewis Maynard on Twitter, at Lewis_Maynard on Instagram.
Right. Just a few things that I had to plug. 7 Months of Danger, Dangerous Alliance Pod. We're about halfway through that one. We're about to beat a Super Brawl. 1992 on that, so looking forward to doing the next couple episodes for that. Who's Next? NXT Pod with Andy Atherton. And then Talking Docs is a documentary pod that I did with Roger and Jennifer Smith. So that's a pretty new one that'll be coming out on her Jenny Position Wednesday. So, but as always, thank you everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. Cause you know that, baby, I'm your biggest fan. Follow you until you love me, Papa, paparazzi. Baby, there's no other superstar. You know that I'll be your Papa, paparazzi. Promise I'll be kind, but I won't stop until that boy is mine. Baby, you'll be famous. Chase you down until you love me.
Mentality.